Today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Yud. Today's shir is once again sponsored by David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, as well as by Menachem Kelptach, Zeche Nishmas, Menachem Mendel, Ben Mordechai. We thank the sponsors again very, very much for the sponsorship. If anyone would like to sponsor, it's $54. If you could email dafsponsor@bknw.org. So we are again, we're holding on Daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis, and we're in the middle of the sugya of Kchal, of how exactly does one eat the udder of an animal, considering the inherent Basar B'chal of problem that you have when you have a piece of flesh through which milk flows. So we're discussing how exactly to kasher Kchal, and we're going to talk about whether there's a difference between roasting Kchal versus cooking it, and whether they can be eaten b'dieved if you cooked it without doing the Kriya that we described, the tearing it open in the Shsi Ve'erev, in terms of how to remove all of the milk from it. And then the Gemara is going to bring a number of different minhagi makamos about what people did in different areas in terms of eating chal, and this, so there was not a uniform practice in the times of the Gemara. And the Gemara, through that, is going to tell the story of Rav Chista having a conversation with Rami Bar Timri, and Rav Chista criticizing everything he does. Rav Chista questioning every one of his actions, starting with the issue of chal, but then moving on to other issues relating to and tefillin, until he finally proves his charifos, and then Rav Chista apparently leaves him alone. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to move into discussion of cooking liver, because once we're talking about things that are inherently problematic, so liver is inherently dumb, and yet it's mutter. So we're going to talk about that as well. So we left off v'ha'anon tanan, three lines from the end of the page. So we were in the middle of discussing the issue of chal, and we had mentioned that Rav Nachman was matir to roast chal without being korea and being motzi the chala first, without tearing it and removing the milk first. So says Gemara v'ha'anon tanan, but don't we learn in the Mishnah Koro, that you have to tear it open, you can't just eat the chal, you can't just roast it and eat it. So Gemara says, no, ahula kadeira. When the Mishnah says that you have to tear it open, that's talking about if you cook it, because when you cook it, the milk is going to leave the chal, and once it leaves, once it goes out of the udder, now it has an actual halachic shame, chalav, at least on the drabanan level, and then that chalav is going to go back and be nivla into the basar of the chal, and it's of course going to aser it. But Rav Nachman allowed you using chal without tearing it open when you're going to roast it, because the chalav that comes out from the chal when you roast it never goes back into it, and therefore there's no need to be korea even the chachila if that's what you plan on doing, if you plan on roasting it. That's the way Rashi understands the sugya. According to Rashi, it turns out when you put this together with what we learned yesterday, the two lashonos in the name of Rav and Rav Nachman, it turns out that there are three different shitos in how to understand the Mishnah about chal. According to everybody, if you cook it without kriya, it's asur afilu b'diavad. Right? If you cook it, not sola, but you cook it without tearing it open, asur afilu b'diavad. The machlokas is when you roast chal without tearing it open. According to the first lashon of Rav, l'chadchila, you have to be korea it. B'diavad, it's mutar ba'achila. And that's what the Mishnah was talking about. B'tzli, that you're not over a love, it's mutar b'diavad. According to the second lashon of Rav, l'chadchila you need to be korea, b'di'eved, it's asr ba'achila, and that's what the Mishnah was talking about, that it was roasted, it's eino over a love, but v'asr, you're not allowed to eat it, you still have to be, you're not over a love on a doraisa level, but you're still not allowed to eat it. And according to Rav Nachman, even l'chadchila, if you plan on roasting it, that's what we're introducing right now, that shittas Rav Nachman is even l'chadchila, if you plan on roasting it, you don't need to be korea it in the very first place. So that's the way Rashi understands. Not all Rishonim agree with Rashi. Rabbi Natam is quoted in Tosfos over here that disagrees with Rashi. But let's keep it as simple as possible. So that's Shitas Rashi. So says Gemara Vakatani, asking on what we just said, that if you tzola it, it's unnecessary to do any kriya. V'katani shebishlo, but didn't the Mishnah say that if you're mevashel it, it's going to be mutter? And the Brisa certainly, the Brisa said chal shebishlo with its chalav, that it's going to be mutter. And the Brisa, the way Rashi understands it, clearly isn't talking about bishl, it means tzli, because by bishl there's no way it's going to be mutter when you violated the halacha and you were just mevashel it with the chalav. The chalav definitely will come out and go back into it. Will come out into the water that you're cooking it in and get right back reabsorbed into it after it already has the din of chalav. And yet it says chal shebishlo sounds like only diyeved in the chadchila lo, that only if you roasted it b'diyeved you're going to be allowed to eat it. But lichadchila you're not allowed to eat it without tearing it open first, even when you're only roasting it. It's interesting that the Gemara's kasha is from the whole point of Rav Nachman is to be mechalik between being mevashel and being tzola, and the Gemara's kasha is from a place that says shebishlo where we're being machmir and with the assumption that shebishlo doesn't mean bishlo, that bishlo means tzli, but that bishlo is one of those words that has a more narrow definition and a broader definition. It's like the word behema, for example. The word behema can mean animal life, or it can mean a behema as opposed to a chaya. Or like the word yom. The word yom could mean a 24-hour period. It could be yom as opposed to laila. So bishul also could be bishul just in a bishul b'shabbos sense. So bishul b'shabbos includes tzli and includes afiyah. It's really afiyah. That's the real malacha. So afiyah. But when we use that term bishul, so we do. It talks about it could mean any one of those things, or it could be in the more narrow sense bishul as opposed to tzli. For example, like by Korban Pesach, that you're not allowed to be mevashel, but you're only allowed to be tzola. So over here, the Gemara understood that bishlo means that they were being tzola it. So the question is, sounds like from the Braisa that that's only a b'di'eved, that l'chadchila you're not allowed to just roast the chal without tearing it open first. So says Marna, who adin dafi l'chadchila? Yes, you are. Even l'chadchila, you're allowed to roast the chal with the milk in it. Va'aydi t'kabayi l'misa seifa, but since the seifa wants to use the lashon b'di'eved, when the seifa goes on to say that keva shebishla b'chalava asura, that if you cook the stomach of the animal with its chalav, it's going to be asur. Dafi l'di'eved namilo. In such a case, even b'di'eved, the keva is going to be asur, because that's going to be mamish basur b'chalav, because it was already, the chalav was already poresh from its source by the time it got into the keva of the animal. How did it get into the keva of the animal? The animal nursed from its mother, so it already left the mother, so that's even going to be also b'di'eved. So tarnami reisha shebishla. That's why the reisha says alashem b'di'eved shebishla. So now the Gemara brings a maisa to clarify whether chal that's cooked in its chalav is also b'di'eved. Ki salik Rav Lazar, when Rav Lazar went to Eretz Yisrael, ashkechei l'ziiri, he saw ziiri. Amar lei, so Rav Lazar asked ziiri, ikotana da'asniel l'rav chal. Is there someone in Eretz Israel, a Tana, who Tana over here means someone who teaches Mishnayos and Brayos. It doesn't mean someone who lived in the days of the Tanaim. You have that a lot of times. The Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin says someone who's Mekadesh Nisha al Menas Sha'ani Tana. It's Eina Mekadeshes Eli Imkein Shana Hilchsa Sifra Sifri Tosefta. Then she's Eina Mekadeshes unless he came from a time machine and he was really a Tana. No, unless he's someone who teaches Tanaic teachings. That's what Tana means very often in Shas. Seika Tana Dasi the Do we have in Eretz Yisrael a Tana, someone who teaches Mishnayos and Braisos, who taught the din of all the Braisos that deal with Chal to Rav, that taught him that Chal that's cooked without Kriya is going to be Yasser B'di'eved? So Achvil Rav Yitzchak Baru Vadimi. They showed him Rav Yitzchak Baru Vadimi, that he's the one that taught Rav all the dinim of Chal. So Amleis, Rav Yitzchak Baru Vadimi said to Rav Lazar, Anilo Shunisi lo Chal Kalikr. I didn't. That's not true. I didn't teach Rav anything about Chal. The Rav Bika Matzah Vagada Bagada. Meaning, Rav Lazar was curious to find out where Rav got all these Gevaldik Chumras when it came to Chal. So he has so much. So he went to Rav Yitzchak Baru Vadimi. Said it wasn't me. I didn't teach him anything. He found a problem that had to be addressed, and the way he addressed it was by being extra machmir when it came to chal. He saw that people were mizalzel in halachas of basar v'chalav. Why? What happened? To Rav Ikla l'tatlofush. Rav went to a place called Tatlofush, Shamalai Itzah Dekamer L'Chavirta, and he overheard a conversation between two women that one woman said to the other, Riva Debisra Kama Chalava Boi Levashule. That, oh, I'm buying, they were in the market, she was buying a certain quantity of meat, she was saying, how much milk has to go into this recipe to cook this meat with? And Rav said, oh my gosh, this is what the Jewish people are talking about. cooking milk with meat. Amar lo gemiri de bas b'chalav asur. They don't even know that bas b'chalav is asur in this place. Iakev v'kasalu kachli. So he stayed there in order to become the rabbi, and once he became the rabbi, he asked chal. He said that this is a place where we need to take extra chumras in order to show that the stringency of bas b'chalav. Such an unusual maisa. What kind of community? They don't even know that there's an isser of bishul bas b'chalav. You don't have to know much to know that Jews don't mix milk and meat. So there's the mesifta of your quote to Chubas HaGaonim, that Chubas HaGaonim says that the woman that he overheard was the mother of Rav Asi, and she knew that Rav was planning on going to another place called Ispahan and setting up a yeshiva there, and he was going to bring some Talmidim with him, one of whom was Rav Asi, and she didn't want her little boy leaving home. She didn't want Rav Asi leaving, going to follow the Rebbe to this other place. So she said, how am I going to get Rav to stay here? I have to show him that he's needed. I have to show him how desperate we are for a Talmud Chacham. So dafka with an earshot of Rav, she says, it's total amaratzos that you're allowed to cook basar b'chalav. And Rav says, oy vey, I'm needed here. I better not go anywhere. And her plan backfires when Chal becomes Asr as well. Right, I guess. But that was that's the story. I don't know where they get it from. That's the story that they have in Chuvas HaGaonim. It's also interesting over here. Tosos raises the question. Tosos all over Shas does this. Asks historical questions based on the names of Amoraim. That what happened? They were looking for a Tana for the person who could have been the teacher of Rav in Mishnayos and Brisos, and they found Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi. So Tosos points out it doesn't seem that Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi could have been the Rebbe of Rav. Why not? Because Rava, who was born on the day that Rav Yehuda died, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us certain people were Memali Makom Mavad. So Rava was born on the day that Rav Yehuda died. Rav Yehuda. It's always Amar Rav Yudam Rav, right? So Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav. So Rav, he said Shmuos that he heard himself from Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi. Now, if he was born on the day that a Talmud of Rav died, how could he have personally heard things from the Rebbe of Rav, from Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi? It's a generation or two off. At the most, it could be that Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi was a Talmud of Rav, but certainly he couldn't have been a Rebbe of Rav. He could have been a Talmud of Rav who outlived another Talmud of Rav, Rav Yehuda, by a few years, and therefore Rav was able to hear things from him. But how is it possible that he was a Rebbe of Rav? So Tosfos quotes, Rabbeinu Tam gives the answer that he always gives, which is, there are two Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimis. Whenever Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by such a, he always says that there must have been two people by that name. However, Tosfos and Maseches Yevamos ask the same kashan, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and Tosfos quotes another shita, that some change the Girsa in Yevamos to Rav in place of Rava. That Rav is the one who said things in the name of Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi, and that makes a lot of sense. But Rava never met Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi, and then it fits perfectly. It wasn't Rava who was born on the day of the death of a Talmud of Rav that was saying things from Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi. It was Rav himself, because he in fact was a Talmud of Rav Yitzchak Bar Uvadimi. Okay, says Gemara, Rav Kahana Masnihach, Rav Kahana taught the Maisa with Rav Lazar and Rav Yosef Bar Avadimi the way we just said it. Rav Yossi Bar Abba Masni, Rav Yossi Bar Abba taught the Maisa slightly differently. That Rav Yosef Bar Avadimi said, Ana Kchal Shel Manika Shanisi Lo. I did teach Rav about Kchal, but I told him that the Kchal of a nursing animal is problematic. That's what's going to be Asr B'Diavid, because it actually has milk in there. Umi Pulpuli Shel Rabbi Chia Shanale Kchal Stam. But Rav taught these halachos of Chal, learned these halachos of Chal by Rabbi Chia, and because Rabbi Chia was very, very sharp, and he was able to always be mechavin chilukim, and he was always able to understand the depth of things very quickly, he assumed that his talmidim were mechudadim kamoso. He assumed his talmidim were just as sharp as he was, and therefore, when he retaught Rav the din of Chal, he didn't bother explaining that the isser of Chal is only by Chal shel manika. He just said, Chal is aser, and Rav made a mistake, because when he learned it the second time, when he chazed it over, he didn't learn it with the proper chilukim. This you have sometimes. You have someone who's a super genius, so he teaches Torah, but he assumes that the Talmidim are super geniuses as well, so he skips steps in his presentation, or he won't point out the exceptions to the rule, because he'll assume that the Talmidim will know. So that's an unfortunate thing. That's why they have different levels of shiurim in most yeshivas, because the lower level Talmidim aren't ready to be able to make that jump. Okay, Rav and Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef Iklu, Lubei Rav Papi. Rav and Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef went to the house of Rav Papi. Aislu Kamer Tavshilu de Kchal. And they brought him a cooked dish of Kchal. Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef Achal. Ravin lo Achal. Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef ate it. Ravin refused to eat it. Amar Abaye. Ravin Tchala. Ravin, the one who doesn't have any kids. The one whose children all died in his during his lifetime. Amai lo Achal. Why don't you eat it? Michti, the bitu de Rav Papi, don't you know the wife of Rav Papi, Barti de Rav Yitzchak Bar Nefcha Avai, meaning they're at Rav Papi's house. Do you know who his wife is? She can be trusted. She's the daughter of Rav Yitzchak Nefcha. Rav Yitzchak Nefcha, Mari Duv Dahava. And Rav Yitzchak Nefcha is a big, big tzaddik. He loved the Shmielah Mibein Asha, Lava Avda, and you can trust that if Mrs. Rav Papi didn't hear this from her father, she never would do something that she didn't hear from her father. So you can absolutely trust the Kashus. So many issues with this incident. First of all, how do you call someone a name like that? He refers to him as Ravin Techala, Ravin, the one whose generation is cut off. That's Rabbeinu Gershom says because of Agmas Nefesh. To remember the Rabbeinu Gershom on the side of the page over here, to remember Misas Banav to be Mitzar, and then he would call him Techala. The Gemara in Pesachim says that Abaye called Ravin Avin Tchala, that Abaye referred to Ravin over there also as Avin Tchala. Ravin's real name is Avin. Ravin is an abbreviation of Rav Avin. So he called him Avin Tchala. So the Marshal says that it's a kinoy of Gennai, and he says it must be that it was a different Avin. It was someone else, because you would never call the Rav Avin this, but over here it's Beferish, right? This seems to be the right. It was a Ravin Loachal. This is the Ravin, and it doesn't seem to fit that it was someone else who wasn't a chash of a person. So the Achronim are troubled with this, and they quote from the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Zayin that there's a Maisa where Abaye got very upset about Ravin because of his gaiva, of his perceived gaiva. He thought that he was a bal gaiva. So maybe this was his knocking him down a peg from his gaiva. In they quote in the over here from the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. I don't think it's not the Chavetz Chaim. Some other Sefer called Chavetz Chaim, which is a neat trick if you want to sell some books, I guess. Mm-hmm. That Abaye called Ravin Tichla in order to be Malamid Zchus. That all the shortcomings that he found in him, all the things that he saw that he didn't like about him, he said Nebuch, he had such a bitter life that I'd also have some problems with my Midos and my gaiva and my whatever else if I was as bitter as he was. Nebuch, he had such problems. So he would constantly remind himself to put yourself in the other man's shoes before you judge him. So that's how he would remind himself of that. Now the other issue over here, that the wife of who was this? The wife of Rav Papi was the daughter of Rav Yitzchak Nefcha, and they said you could rest assured she's only doing what Rav Yitzchak Nefcha would do. Well, once she's married to Rav Papi, should she be only doing what Rav Yitzchak Nefcha would do? Meaning, generally speaking, don't we have the assumption that when a woman gets married, she takes on her husband's menhagim, not her father's menhagim? That the father's menhagim go away? So Moshe has a tshuva in the Gros Moshe Archaim Chelak Aleph Siman Kuf Nun Ches about when a couple gets married. And they come from different places, and they have different minhagim. So, what should they do? Should they keep should the woman keep her own family minhagim, or should she conform to her husband's minhagim? And Rav Moshe writes that it's appropriate that she should take on the husband's minhagim bein l'chumra, bein l'kula, because the halacha is the Mishnah tells them Maseches Pesachim, someone who goes from one makom to another, and it's ein dai to lachzer. If you move from one place to another, and there's a minhag makom, and you don't plan on going back to your point of origin, so you have to be known the minhagim of the place that you're going to. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. We paskin this in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerideh, Siman Reish Yadalit, and Mishnah Berurah paskins this in Hilchos Pesach, in Siman Tav Samaches. So a woman, after she's married, is considered as if she has gone into the Roshos Habal, ein daita lachzer. She plans on being with her husband for the rest of her life. So that's what Nisuin is. Nisuin is hachmas al beiso. It's going into the Roshos Habal, and that's why some people are makvid that they rent out the chasen, rents out the makom of the chuppah, because that's the definition of Nisun, and it only works as a definition of Nisun if he's bringing her into his rishus. So there's no, as Rav Moshe writes, ein halachas mimakom lemakom gadol mizeh, that the woman goes to the place of the rishus of the baal. It's like going al dashal olachzer, and therefore she takes on all the minhagim. So they raise the question that our Gemara, Ravin and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef went to Rav Papi's house. They brought this chal. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef ate. Ravin didn't eat. Abai Abaye says, why didn't you eat? Don't you know whose daughter this woman is? Not whose husband this woman is. As she wouldn't, if she wouldn't have heard this in her father's house, she never would make this dish. So it sounds from this Gemara that a woman has to be noeg, kiminig beis aviyah, because otherwise there's no raya from what she's doing about what her father would have held. So Rav Moshe deals with that kasha, and Rav Moshe says that Abaye was trying to say that if Rav Yitzchak Navcha would have asked chal, then his son-in-law Rav Papi would not have disagreed with the father-in-law. Sometimes you marry a bas tamal chacham, you have an appreciation of who the father-in-law is, of where you come from. That is, his wife would have told the husband, my father asked this, and he would have been chozer bo. And then his minog would have been like the father-in-law's minog. Sometimes people marry the daughters of Gedolei Yisrael, no matter what their family minog is. They marry the daughters of Gedolei Yisrael, they conform to that minog. Remember, after my brother got married, he started taking on many of Rav Moshe's minhagim, because he married a great granddaughter of Rav Moshe. So he started marrying into that family. So okay, that's something you would want to conform to. So Rav Moshe says that's why that was the assumption that was that they were working with. Now the very idea that a woman has to be knowing the minhagim of her husband, the Tashbetz already writes much earlier than Rav Moshe that a woman is included together with her husband ishto kigufo lechol dvarim, and she's totally removed from kilas beis aviyah, and it's a davar pashut ein bo safek. He says that there is a question though. Some of the achronim raise, what about things that are purely women issues? Meaning that the husband doesn't have a minhag, his family had a minhag, his mother had a minhag. Binyamin Palm told me that his grandmother used to light, I forget which way it went, but let's say his grandmother used to light, I don't know, all the candles, however many kids that she had, and Rav Pam told his kids, you know, our minhag is we light two candles. What do you mean, our minhag? Mom lights all these. No, but that was her family minhag, so I don't bother, you know, it's Hadlakas Neros, so she wanted to keep that minhag, but our minhag, my real minhag, is telling them light two. That certain things, maybe there's a little more leeway, that it's more about the woman than it is about the marriage, or it is about the husband. Rav Moshe writes that this whole idea of Ein Day to Lachzar, so the Achronim in the Sefer Admas Kodesh, he says that it would turn out that a woman is not able to be makil like the minhagim of her husband by certain types of minhagim. Not all minhagim are the same. There are certain types of minhagim that are tali b'minhag that were not a takana kaduma, but something that's a takana kaduma, and it's a neder that on those who are mekabelit and on their children, where even someone who's holik mimakum lamakum and zayn deret alatzar is not pater from such a kabbalah, right? Meaning you have to follow the halacha. If Rav Moshe says it's all based on zayn deret alatzar, are there any minhagim that you have to keep even when you move somewhere else in Ein Day to Lachzar? So this sefer suggests that there are certain minhagim that you do, things that are a takana kaduma, and therefore he says that one such example is kidneys, that Ashkenazim don't ask for kidneys because we think that there's chametz in there. We ask for kidneys because it was a takana to ask for kidneys on Pesach. And therefore he suggests that if a bas Ashkenaz marries a Sephardi man, that she's still not allowed to eat kidneys, that she has to follow the takana kaduma. I'm not sure, I don't think Rav Moshe writes that anywhere, but that's what this sefer suggests. Tshuvas Vanhagos talks about an isha bebeis avia that they eat only matzos yad on Pesach. They don't eat machine matzos, and in the husband's house they eat machine matzos as well. So since those who asked her to eating machine matzos on Pesach are knowing that mishum siyagu precious, so she should do a taras nedarim. Rav Shlomrach writes in Chelik Aleph of Tshuvas Vanhagos. But something that bebeis avia they ask her only mishum chumra, and not because they hold that it's that's only something that they ask mishum chumra, not because of ikra din. Like in Beis Avir, they're makbid not to eat gebrax, and she marries someone who eats gebrax, so she doesn't require ataras and darim because things that are only mishum chumra. So then you have a din of holach mimakom lamakom where it's ein daito lachzer. So these are complicated matters. These issues of minhagim of when you can, when you can. Someone, one of the rabbanim, was just telling me that in his shul they asked a Sephardi person to daven for an amud, and he said no, because I have to daven Sephardic if I daven for an amud. So we told him, you're in an Ashkenazi shul, you should daven Ashkenazi. That's not where Rav Avadi Yosef paskind. So different shitos about what to do. Most almost every Ashkenazi posuk would say you conform to whatever. If you daven Nusach Sephard, for example, and you're davening for an amud in Nusach Ashkenaz minyan, so you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, or vice versa. But when it comes to Sephardim, so Rav Avadi Yosef had a much stronger. Rav Avadi Yosef, in general, he held, you know, because we're right and everybody else is wrong. But he wasn't purely based on that. But he held that they had to conform conform to their minhagim. Okay, let's go weiter now. So says the Gemara, Besura lo achli kachli. In Sura they didn't eat chal, but Pumbedisa achli kachli. In Pumbedisa they did eat chal by tearing it open first, like the din that it says in our Mishnah. Rami Bar Tamri, duhu, Rami Bar Dekuli, Rami Bar Tamri, who, that was just his nickname, he was also called Rami Bar Dekuli, Dekel, Tamar, get it? Right, so may Pumbedisa, he came from Pumbedisa, Iklo the Sura b'mali Yom HaKippurim. He came to Sura on Erev Yom HaKippurim. So, Afkinu Kulei Alma LeKachlinu. Everyone brought out their Chal from the behemoths that they had freshly shechted. Right? I mean, that's why he mentions that it was Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is one of the days of the year where there's a lot of Shechita going on. That's what the Gemara said before, that if you have Basash and Asali Min HaAyin on Erev Yom Kippur, you can assume that it's Kashrut. Because even if a bird picked up one piece of meat and dropped another piece of meat, it was probably Kashrut meat from someone else's Shechita, because everyone was shechting on Erev Yom HaKippurim. So everyone was bringing out their chal because they didn't eat their chal. Shadinu, and they were throwing them out. They were throwing it in the garbage. Asal Ihu Naktinu Achlinu. So he went around collecting all the chal to eat all the chal. He was going to eat all this chal. Asyul Kamed Rav Chista. They brought in front of Rav Chista to punish him. So Amalei Rav Chista said to Rami Bar Tamri, Amai Tavidachi, why did you do this? You're eating chal? We don't do that. So Amalei, Me Asad Rav Yuda Anad the Achil. I happen to come from Rav Yehuda's place, and the minhag by Rav Yehuda is that they do eat chal. Amaleis, Rav Chista said to Rami Bar Tamri, "V'les lach nosan l'chumim emakam shatzim misham l'chumim emakam shalachul l'sham." What we were just talking about, don't you hold that you have to take upon yourselves the chumras of the place that you go to? So you're over here, you have to take on the chumras of this place while you're here. Amalei chutz l'tumah chaltinu. He says, "No, no, my plan. I was eating the chal outside of the tchum, and the minhag here is not mechayiv me anywhere outside the tchum." The Rishonim say that we learn that this is la halacha based on this line of Gemara, that even when you take on the minhagim, the chumras of the makam that you go to, that's only when you are within the tchum of that city. Outside the tchum of that city, you can revert back to your own minhagim. So he says, okay, but you're going outside of the city. There are no ovens outside of the city. But metavasinu, how did you roast the chal outside of the city? Meaning he pushed him further. So amalei biportzini. He said, I found sediment of old grapes that were pressed outside of the city, and I was able to burn them, and I was able to make a little fire, and that's how I roasted the chal. We use grape products? Any grape product, you have a chashash of yayin nesach. How could you do that? No, it was already totally dried out. It was they were clearly 12 months old, and then there's no chashash of yayin nesach. That's beferish in Masech Avodah Zarah and Daf Chavtes, that chatzanim and zagim shalov de kachavim, if they're lachin asurim, if they're yaveshin, they're mutarin. And the Gemara over there says, Elohim lachim kol shem asur chodesh, yaveshim lachar shem asur chodesh. Right? Very clear. After 12 months, it's totally fine. V'dimla de gezel hava, but maybe someone owned those chatzanim and there's nisr gezel. The Chassam Sofer writes that he said dimla miyan yesach hava showed that he didn't find them in a kerem. He found them in be'emtza derech. Because if he found them in a kerem of a Jew, then there should be no chashash of yayin esach. If it was a kerem of a goy, then it should not be v'dimla miyan esach hava. It should be v'alo miyan esach hava. Isn't it obvious yayin esach? So it must be that he found them be'emtza derech. So it's Talian. Whether there's nisr gezel or not, because maybe the bailim were misya'esh, and that's why I didn't say that vada gezel dilma gezel hava. So I'm like yeish bailim hava. I know for sure that the bailim were misya'esh to kadchubuhu chilfi, because there was stuff growing from them already. Meaning they were so old, there was it was obvious that it was well after yeish bailim. Okay, so that was one activity that he did that was criticized. That how could you eat the chal? Then chazi d'lav manach tefillin. Rav Chista saw Rami Bar Tamri wasn't wearing tefillin. He saw Amalei, my time alo menacht tefillin. Why aren't you wearing tefillin? The halacha is a person is supposed to wear tefillin the entire day. It's only a later thing that we stopped wearing it the entire day because we're choshesh that we're not going to be able to keep a guf naki the entire day. So we minimize the amount of time that we wear tefillin to just the period of time that we're davening shachris. So Amalei, choli me'ayin hu. Va'amar Rav Yehuda, choli me'ayin pat mina tefillin. He says, well, I have a stomach problem. And the halach is that a person with a stomach problem is pater from tefillin because he's not going to be able to keep a guf naki. So that's why I wasn't wearing tefillin. So then he said, chazia delava karami chute. He then saw that he wasn't wearing tzitzis either. I mean, he had a beggar of dal kavos. If he wasn't wearing a beggar of dal kavos, it's one thing. He's wearing a beggar of dal kavos. people say, he wasn't wearing tzitzis. So Amalei, my time is less l'chuti. Why aren't you wearing tzitzis? Amalei, talis sh'ulehi. Yeah, it's a beggar of the Dalai Kamphas, but I borrowed it. It's not mine. And Vam Rav Yehuda, talis sh'ulah kol shoshim yom, p'turim in a tzitzis. That a talis sh'ulah for 30 days is a pata from tzitzis. If you've been borrowing it for more than 30 days, then you already would wear tzitzis on the talis, but the first 30 days, it's pata from tzitzis. The pasuk says, gedilim ta'asilcha, al arba kanfos k'suscha asher techaseba. So the Gemara darshins k'suscha shalcha, that it's got to be yours, and the chachamim are only mechayiv if it's more than shloshim yom, because it's not normal to borrow something for more than shloshim yom, and therefore it's near it, it looks like it must be yours. Oh, that guy's been wearing that suit for so long, everyone's going to assume that it belongs to him. But strictly speaking, on a daraisa level, it's pachas mishloshim yom, is pata from tzitzis. Tosfos discusses that what if you put on tzitzis on a talis she'ula pachas mishloshim yom? Are you allowed to say a bracha on such tzitzis? So Tosfos maskana is that you're allowed to say a bracha just like nashim are mevarchem mitzvah shas man grama, even though they're pater. Yam Shlomo disagrees. He says it's usher to say a bracha within shloshim yom. The Rush writes that someone who borrows a talis mitzuyetzes, then he's for sure allowed to say a bracha because it's al das kein that the person lent it to him, that he should be able to say a bracha. And therefore, if Alpidin, he can't say a bracha, calls man that it's ain't a shalom, it must be that the person has in mind that he's been makne it to him. That it's not just a loan. A person walks into shul, he doesn't have a talis. So normally you say the shul talisim belong to everybody. Yeah, but even the visitor who doesn't have a talis, lend him a talis. What does he do? He says a bracha on it always. Talis shul is patam and atzitz. According to men, we're not allowed to say a bracha on it. The assumption has to be that when it's being loaned to him, the understanding is, b'chiyai gavna, in whatever deal has to be made for you to be able to say a bracha, if it's matan al menas la'achzir and that's what has to be made for you to be able to say a bracha, then that's what it is, whatever it is for a person to say a bracha. The bigger question is why people don't say a bracha when you daven for an amud or something and you put on a talis, because that l'chor is not a talis shu'ula, right? When you daven for an amud, so then you're a member of that shul, so the talisim are owned by the entire community and you're one of the owners, so l'chor it is not considered a talis shu'ula. So the Achronim explain, I think Rosh Hashanah and others explain that the assumption is that he's only wearing it l'kavanat tzibur, that he's not wearing it as a talis, he's only wearing it's only a beggar for a kavanat tzibur, and therefore it's going to be pater from tzitzis, because he's not wearing it really like a beggar. It's a shvera kula, but that's the kula that everyone seems to rely on. Now, why is it that a shliach tzibur wears a talis? So that's derived, the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah tells us, Ve'avar Hashem al panav ha'yikra, Amar b'yokna l'molik mikro kasav v'yef shalom, Amar m'lamish n'satif ha'kadosh baruch hu kishliach tzibur v'her lal Moshe seydet tefilu. When Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu, d'yad gimel midas harachmim, he was misatif kishliach tzibur. So the Gemara is making an assumption that a shliach tzibur is misatif, that there's a requirement of ituf for a shliach tzibur. That's the discussion, and whether a bachur, someone who's not married, should put on a talis if he's being a shliach tzibur, should put on a talis over his head, because ituf means by wearing it over a person's head as well. The minigam YU in the base medrash was always that the shliach tzibur, even if he was a bachur, would put the talis over his head, because that's the tzura of a shliach tzibur. So that was, I think, from Rav Dov Lipschitz, that psak goes back to Rav Dov Lipschitz, that he required that. Okay, but as far as the bracha, it's a very very tricky discussion. Okay, so while this conversation is going on and he's being criticized for not wearing the tefillin and not wearing the tzitzis, a person comes to the Beis Din of Rav Chista who was lax in his kibbut aveim. He wasn't fulfilling the mitzvah of kibbut aveim properly. So kaftu, they tied him to a post in order to give him malchus to force him to be mechabit his parents. So Rami Bar Tamri said to them, wait, shavku, leave him alone. Don't give him malchus. Titania, kol mitzvah say shematan schar betzida, ein bezen shal matan musar nalaha. Any mitzvah in the Torah that the matan schar of the mitzvah is written in the Torah, bezen shal matan is not musar, bezen is not allowed to force such a mitzvah. And the mitzvah of kibbut aveim is matan schar betzida. Kabel es avicha vesimecha lema'an ya'arichun yamecha la'adam asher Hashem elokecha nosei lach. So it's explicit that there's a matan schar betzida, and therefore Beis Din is not allowed to force it. Rashi explains why is Beis Din not allowed to force something that's matan schar b'tzida, because when the Torah is telling us the schar for the mitzvah, it's as if the Torah is telling us, and if you don't do the mitzvah, your onesh is that you don't receive that schar. So we're not allowed to apply any other onesh, that is the onesh, that you don't receive the schar. So Beis Din is not able to force with any other sort of onesh. Tosfos explains Beis Din shel matzah is kofa mitzvah on a mitzvah in general. If it says a lav, even if it's matan schar mafurash betzida, if it's a lav associated with the mitzvah, then even if it's matan schar betzida, Beis Din shel matzah is allowed to be kofa. So the Achronim explained that when Beis Din is machriach a person to be mekayim and asay, that's a din kfiyah, but when they prevent him from doing a lav, that's a din of hafrasha meyisura. And hafrasha meyisura, there's no chilik between matan schar betzida and not matan schar betzida. A number of the other Rishonim point out, this appears in Tosfos and Maseches Bava Basra. He quotes a sheet of the Ritzba in Bava Basra in the Tzedakah Sugya. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim forced someone to give Tzedakah. So, based on the Yerushalmi, that in Mitzvah Shamat and Schar B'tzida, Beis Din is not Nenesh Aleh if they're not Kofeh, but if they want, they're allowed to be Kofeh. Meaning, in Beis Din Mushorin Aleh means Beis Din is not held at fault for not being Kofeh, but not that it's Asur to be Kofeh. That sheet does hard to fit into this sugya, because over here Rami Bar Tamri was stopping them. Don't punish the guy. You're not allowed to punish the guy. So maybe he was telling them you shouldn't feel responsible that you have to punish the guy, but not that they aren't allowed to. In general, malchus happen in one of two circumstances. Malchus either happens as an onesh for navera, meaning that which you've already done, but that's only if you violated a los hase, and malchus sometimes is done as a kfiya to do a mitzvah. It's for the future. You haven't yet done a mitzvah, there's still time to do it, so we're going to beat it into the guy until he agrees that he's actually going to do it. It's going to modify his behavior to actually do it right now. So the classical malchus is about the past, it's about violating an issur in the past, and then you have malchus to force a person. There are three differences between those two types of malchus. Malchus for an onesh is only on a los asay. Malchus for the future is on an asay, someone who refuses to, and it's only on an asay, someone who refuses to do an asay, you want to do an asay. The second difference is that malchus for an onesh has a limit. The limit is how much he could handle, or 39, whichever is the lower number, right? They have to do an omed and assess what the person could handle if he doesn't die. But malchus to force a person to do a mitzvah, achetetze nafsho, that until he says, I'll do it, or achetetze nafsho, you keep doing it until he agrees to do it. There is no limit in terms of the numbers. And then a third possible distinction, at least according to the Nesivis writes in Simon Gimel, that when you're being kofa on mitzvos, it's not just a din and beis din. Everybody has the responsibility to force others to do mitzvos, whereas halka for an onesh, that's only a din and beis din. Onesh that's for a violation of a lav, that's only carried out in beis din. Okay, so Amar Leih, so Rav Chisda said to Rami Bar Tamri, Chazina lach de charifas tuva. Wow, I see that you're very sharp, that you were able to chop this mistake we were about to make. So Amar Leih, Yavas Ba'asid Rav Yehuda, Achvina lach chorfai. You haven't seen nothing. If you would have seen me in Rav Yehuda's place, you would see my real charifas. Over here, I'm like kamad in gullus. I don't get to express my charifas. So it's an unusual conversation as well. The Maram Shif writes that he meant to say, if you would live with me in a different place, bikvius, then I would really show my charifas. But I'm only a guest over here, so you don't really get to know me. Meaning, there are certain people that you're impressed with at first, but then the more you get to know them, the less impressed you are. But he says, I'm not that way. You know, the more you get to know me, you would be even more impressed. The Chassam Sofer is bothered in a drasha, and the Chassam Sofer raises the question, what kind of way to talk is that? Well, that's not the derech of Talmidei Chacham. Talmidei Chacham are matznia, they're chachma. They don't go bragging about the chachma. And also, why is Rav Chisda medaktik to say to Rami Bar Tamri that he was so charif? Well, are you mekane is charifus? So the Chassam Sofer says that he was mekabel from his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, that a person is not magia l'sof chachmaso, Cholzmanshu Chosa Betzel Rabbo. Very interesting idea. That so long as he's in his Rebbe's shadow, he's not going to fully be what he can become. Because he's always going to feel somewhat limited. He's always going to feel the need to conform exactly to what his Rebbe's saying. So Rav Chista said that since I see you, that you're very charif, it must be you've already gotten the Sof Chachmascha. It must be you've separated from your Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, and that you're here to stay. And therefore, my kasha on you from the beginning of this conversation is back. How are you allowed to eat chal? You're not taitol achsar. So it should be usher for you to eat chal. So he said, no, you haven't seen my charifus. I'm capable of much more. I'm still very much shakoet Rav Yehuda. One day my full charifus will come out. So that's how the Chassam Sofer understands the conversation. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, boy minayu, kavda ma'atun bay. You should ask them what they hold about liver, whether you're allowed to cook liver in a pot, or you have to be choshesh that since it's pole dam, when you cook it, it's problematic. So kisalik, ashkel Rav Zrika, when he went, he found Rav Zrika, and he asked him the din by liver. So amalei, so he said to him, I cooked liver for Rabbi Ami and he ate it. When Rav Safra came to Abaye and he told him what Rav Zrika said, I didn't have any suffix whether the liver itself becomes usur when you cook it. My shaila was, does it asur everything else that's in the pot with it? Because the blood that comes out of that liver might asur everything else in the pot. So why are you so certain that it itself is kosher? Because it's a Mishnah, Maseches Trumos, that kavod is eina ne'aseres. So the Mesa Chaver Tanami looked at Balach, well, if you knew that Mishnah, you should know the second half. Ditnana kavod oseres ve'eina ne'aseres, and Meshi Boletas ve'eina blas. You should see the part that says oseres. It does have the ability to ask for other things. So how could you ask such a shayla? So Amalei, dil mahasam bekavda di yusura. Maybe over there we're dealing with a liver that was usur to eat. It was the liver of a behemoth trefa, and mishum shamnunisa, and it was the reason that it asers the meat that's cooked with it is because of the tam of the shomen of iser that goes from the liver and gets absorbed by the other chatichos. But mishum damamai, my shaila was about the dam. Is the dam of the liver on a kosher liver? Is that alone enough in order to aser the other things that it's cooked with? Okay, we'll stop there. And Rav Shalom will pick up on the top tomorrow.